word of prayer, and then we'll sing the song. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you for this little bit of time we've set aside just to top up our spiritual reservoirs, Lord, to learn a little bit more about you, or just even sing some of those good old songs. Please bless our time in your presence. Please be with and feed, Lord, not just us, but anywhere and everywhere that your children are gathering together in your name to worship and praise you, to learn a bit about you. Give us the power that we need, Lord, as the week goes on. Please reason with us in our hearts and in our minds. Please explain things to us, Lord. Please make good on your promise that the Holy Spirit will teach us all things and bring them to our remembrance. We really do need you, Lord, and we just pray this and thank you for loving us and watching over us and for saving us. And pray that you would be one of our number this evening. And Lord, just work in each one of our hearts and minds. We love you and thank you. And we pray this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. All right. Anybody has a hymn, they're more than happy to entertain. But in the meantime, we'll start with 150. See, you know how much... You never realise how much you depend on people until they're not about. Oops. Hey, computer. The faith has found a resting place, 150. Let's make a joyful noise.
Gotcha.
You got one normally? Are you looking or are you?
I'm looking.
still a competition. If
nobody has one. I have a 119 is till the storm passes by. Anybody else any suggestions?
406.
What's that one, Norman?
Who's on the dark side?
That's a good one. 406 as well. You don't have to have one if you've none on your mind, that's grand. Alright. I want to have a few minutes anyway before we get to needing another one. So we'll continue with 119 till the storm passes by.
Romans chapter 8.
There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemning sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to life after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit, and we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs to God, the joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon the suffering at this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even ye ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, who doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit is also helping our infirmities, for we know not that what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth that is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He hath spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. It is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Some powerful verses in those, especially that last half a dozen there, just at the last hour at the end. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Basically nothing, once we are saved. Amen. Thank you for that. Just want to take a wee minute while we're here in this particular part of the service to remind you about the prayer list. So if you have one, or you get a past one, is there anything that needs to be added to that? Frank OK, so we'll change that Frank OK to Frank safely. It's good news. Sent him a text, but I don't know if I read it. I've been thinking on it the past day or two just to make sure he got safely home, but I haven't heard from him yet. He's probably trying to get rid of all his Derryisms and get rid of all the Derryisms and get all the Londonisms installed again. There you go. I'm glad he got back safely. We're glad the surgery, etc., went okay. Anybody got anything else? Is anybody still wanting their private prayer requests to be brought to the Lord's attention? Just one. Lincoln. Okay. Charlotte, Monica, and myself, we all have private prayer requests.
What does that mean, sir? What does it mean, sir?
Just in case. cover all your corners. I didn't actually have your name down there, but few of things that are on your mind that you don't wish to give details about. Those are private prayer requests, and we don't know what they are, but we know a man that does, and he will resolve them according to his will if you let him. But please do remember those things. I don't often mention much about my family. I think they're all pretty much all mentioned there, but I have a nephew called Henry. He was mentioned over in the Salvation group there, bottom half of the third page in your prayer list. A friend of his took his own life a few weeks back. And Henry has been up in this church quite a few times. Back when he was much younger, heard the gospel many times, and knows he was even up for Billy's funeral. That's how much he thought of the folks at the church. Knows the gospel, but he doesn't want to get saved, or hasn't gotten saved just yet, and he's having a bit of trouble with reconciling this friend of his taking his life. So I'd appreciate your prayers for Henry at this time as well. Amen. He's a deep thinker, and sometimes whenever you think about things too deeply, you can disappear into them, so please do pray for him. Is there anything else we need to add to this? Except a wee word of prayer, maybe? Okay, let's do that. Is everybody comfortable enough, Lynn? Would you be okay if I turned this off? Or do you want the heat going?
No.
Okay.
Nothing,
do you
feel cold
in here?
Oh, okay.
Are you okay? Right, so let's close your eyes and pray that. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you again, Father, for precious promises in Hebrews where we can come boldly into your presence at any time of the day or night. Lord, we take advantage of that that offer now to come before you with a bunch of things that we'd like to draw to your attention. First of all, the one that applies to us all is our private prayer requests. And I'm sure there are as many and varied as we are. But Lord, you know what they are, and I pray for your good hand upon them. I pray that you would grant them according to your will. Lordy, answers no, and it's according to your will, all well and good. I just pray you the good sense for us to let a thing go and to go about things maybe another way. But Lord, you know our private prayer requests. And for Monica, and for Pat and Steve, and for Will as well. Pray for these folks too. Remember Henry, the difficulty that he's having reconciling the suicide of one of his friends. I pray even at this time, Lord, that an old message or song or piece of the gospel would come to his attention that would just make the difference in his heart. I pray for that, please. Remember too, Lord, each soul that's here and prayer requests that are under their names on the prayer sheet. I pray, Lord, for those two. There's so much going on in the world at this time. I pray, Father, again, that you would remind us about keeping our hearts and minds fixed upon you, trusting in you, Lord, with all of our hearts, and leaning not on our own understanding or worldly opinions, acknowledging you or looking to you for all of our direction, day in and day out, and knowing that you will guide our paths appropriately and accordingly. Lord, please convict our leaders, our politicians, those that are in positions of authority and power, and oppose them, Lord, as they set about devilment and sin, and bless those, Lord, that are set about carrying out your will. Pray for the leaders of the free world, for Russia, for America, for China, for Canada, for Europe, for Africa, for Israel, most importantly, Lord, for Australia, and those countries around and about, Lord. We know the world is in a great state of change right now, but we know most of all, Lord, that most of it's actually in your word. Thank you for keeping that there for us. And we can read it, and we have known that this was coming for years, and we can look at it, and we can say, thank you, Lord, for letting us know beforehand and building up our hearts and minds so that we're not crushed or taken to one side by this, but, Lord, that we can trust in you more and more as we see even more of these things happen. Bless us. Keep our hearts and minds, Lord, please, and let us not be backwards about being good Christians. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for, again, for the work in the church, Lord. I pray for Norman and myself as we labour on. And, Father, for if everything went as smoothly as the lights did, Lord, it would make me real happy. But we know, we pray that your will would be done. Thank you for loving us and for your Son, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, for your Son's intercession for us even now, and for the ministrations of the angels. For preserving your word for us, Lord, and for a purpose, Lord, that will get anybody up out of their bed. Thank you for loving us, Father. Amen. Right. 419, I think it was. 419. 406, was it? Sorry. Yeah. I don't know where I got 419 from. I don't even know what that one is, do I? Sound a battle cry. Anyway, who is on the Lord's side? If you're fit, let's stand as we sing. If you're not fit, just remain seated.
Oh, God.
for one more favorite. I know we've got one from Ling, one from Norman, and one from... Did you get one from you, Sarah? No? One from me, it must have been then. Do you folks in the middle row have any? If you don't, you don't have to find one. I always have lots of hymns creased. If you don't have any, that's just fine. It's not a prerequisite of turning up at church that you should feel put upon to contribute a part to the service like that. We'll do 327. That'll save any bother. 327 is higher ground. Normally we'll stand for this one, but we'll just remain seated for it. Higher ground, 327. That sounds good. Survived Norman's reading, and I think there was about 30 something verses in that, and survived. This might be the best part of the service, the reading of the Word of God, the bit that Norman read and the bit that I read. My thoughts on this might not be any good whatsoever, but please do give the Lord your good attention as we spend this time in His Word. 1 John chapter 5, beginning at verse number 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begot, loveth him also that is begotten of him. And by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he has testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. Do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and that we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Verse number 13 is our text this evening. And I want to spend hopefully a little bit of time answering the title for the message this evening, which is why. Are you starting to feel a wee bit cool?
Yeah.
If you do, just point at the heater and I'll switch it on again for you. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, for preserving it for us. And Lord, thank you for this little bit of it that we've taken time to look at this evening. I pray that you would bless that in Romans chapter 8 to us this morning. So much good stuff in all of those portions of your word. I love you and praise you and pray. Lord, I pray that as you walk around the entryway this evening, someday the hall, we're aiming to give you a bit more exercise, getting to everybody in the very near future. Father, that you would speak to each one of us, that you would reason with us, that you would talk to us, you would show us what it is that you need for us to do. Just thank you that you love us that much that you would take the time to point us in the right direction in any sphere of our life that we would bring to you. We pray this for us, Lord. I ask all this and, of course, for all of the other things that we've mentioned and the private prayer requests that we have in our heart, Lord. We leave them at your feet and pray that you would grant them according to your will. We love you and thank you. Amen. 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 This Bible that we have in our hands here, does anybody have more than one Bible in the house? Like maybe two or three, or I think there's about 200 or 300 sitting out in the wee entryway into the hall there. And the thing about it is we have so many that I think sometimes we take the Word of God for granted. It's a little bit like, is anybody here, have you walked the Derry walls and gone to the Derry Museum? And gone to, what do you call the wee fort just outside of the town?
Greenland?
Greenland Fort.
Yeah.
Have you gone to Greenland Fort? Like, and for a lot of people, it's a case of, oh, I know they're there. Someday I'll get to them, but I know they're there. I've never actually taken advantage, even just to say, I've walked around the walls, I've read all the little plaques, I have seen the things that they point to. I have gone to the museum and looked at the history that has been presented there. It's worthwhile availing of those things. But I think that here and now, in this time of man, this era, if you want to put it, of man, especially in our countries in the Western world, we have so much religion and so many Bibles around us that we say that I can always put my hand on the Bible, or I can call up the Bible on my phone, but yet and all, we are not very familiar with the Bible. I don't think we could countenance of a time whenever there wasn't a Bible. We couldn't even, if you're a Christian at all, you couldn't understand or even the thought of the only time that you would ever get to grips with a bit of the Bible is in the church service, the times that you appear. And there have been many, many stories of places where the Word of God was so precious, missionaries getting into a country and then having to leave for fear of their lives and leaving their Bibles behind them, managing to come back many years later. And the Bible was in pieces, in a good way. Because what happened, people would take a page of the Bible home with them because there was only the one Bible. And they would read it and study just that page. And between all of the people in the village, they had an encyclopedic knowledge of the Bible. It was that precious. There were no pages lost. And so much of the Bible was committed to people's hearts that it actually affected them. There was a time in the Bible that the Word of God says back in Samuel, Eli and Samuel's day, that the Word of God was precious. And some people, whenever they heard it, they didn't let any of it fall to the ground. They were done with none of it. Every single word of the Word of God to them is there for a reason. In fact, Jesus even says the same thing. He said, not one jot or tittle, in other words, not one dotted I or crossed T, is going. They're all there for a reason, and they're all going to be there until the world is no more. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. And I got to thinking about, why is it that God makes these grand statements in the Bible? Why does he, in fact, preserve the Bible for us? Why do we have a Bible? We could look back historically and say many people gave their lives to put the English Bible in their hands. The Puritans, many of them, I think there were 40 plus Puritans and godly men that were involved in the construction of the King James Bible from the Textus Receptus, and some of the older, very conservative texts that the Bible was written in the day. Many of them lost their lives because, sadly, the Catholic Church didn't want anybody to know what the Bible said, because when people get saved and get right with God, they tend to get out of their old religious institutions and find Christian churches to go and attend. We could say that's why we have the Bible, because people were that concerned about it, they got it for us. But the real reason that we have the Bible is because we need it. And because Jesus made us the promise of that no matter what happens, there will always be the Bible on the face of the earth. If we were honest, and there never was a Bible printed on the earth, how would we know about all of the promises that are in the Bible? That even the ones that Norman was reading earlier on, that nothing can separate you from the love of God once you're saved. Height nor depth nor angels nor principalities or powers, nothing. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. You wouldn't know that if God's for you, who can be against you? That doesn't mean that you get super muscles and lightning powers whenever the hordes of unbelievers come at you. It means that you sit down and talk to people about these things. The word of God actually resonates deep inside of the human creature. Whether saved or lost, the lost will squirm uncomfortably whenever you talk about the Lord, and the saved will enjoy every single word of it, or at least they should. Why is the Bible there? It's because that's our meat and potatoes. That's what helps us grow as Christians. That's the instruction we need. How am I supposed to behave in any given situation? It's in the Bible. What am I supposed to believe or to tell my children? Well, it's in the Bible. That God loves you and gave His Son to pay for all of your sins, all of the lies you've told, the things that you've taken, the bad language that you've used, the times that you rebelled against your mom and dad. That's in the Bible. Every single thing that we as a creature need to know about God and how to behave in this world is contained in the Bible. That's why. Some people might say, well, you know what, I've never even got to reading our text, verse number 13. These things, this is what John said. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. All the things that are written here to give you hope and peace in your hearts, that you can know that you have eternal life and God will make good on his promises. Now, one of the things that sets the Bible apart from all other religious books is the accuracy of its prophecy. 100% accurate. There has never been a prophecy that has failed in the Bible. All the ones concerning Christ, they all came true. We spoke about many of them over the past few weeks. He was to be called the branch, and he ended up living in a place called Nazareth, and he was called the Nazarene, which means the branch. He would be hung on a tree, he would become a curse for us. When it wasn't even a means of death. The means of death back in Jewish times tended to be stoning. He would be born in the city of David. And he was born in a little stable in Bethlehem. He would come out of Egypt. How can you be born in Bethlehem and come out of Egypt? But we remember the story about the Lord and his parents fleeing to Egypt whenever Herod came after all the little children. And then whenever Herod was dead, he came home. And he was coming back to Bethlehem when he found out Herod's son was on the throne. So he detoured into Nazareth and became a Nazarene. Not a Nazarite. But when you see a long-haired Jesus, that's people mistaken Nazarene and Nazarite. The vow of a Nazarite is, I'm not going to cut my hair until I've carried out whatever vow it is that I made to God. And those are just a couple of the prophecies to do with Jesus Christ. Those are the real in-earth prophecies. But there's great prophecies for you and me. If you get saved, if you repent of your sins and trust Christ as your Savior, a great change will come over you because you will have been lifted off of the broad road that leads to destruction and set to the straight and narrow road that leads to life. You'll be a new creature. You will have the Holy Spirit living in you. And that has been borne out in my life. I wouldn't have seen myself here 30 years ago, not for all the tea in China, if you'll forgive the expression, or all the gold in Fort Knox. I wouldn't have expected that, but I'm different to what I was before I got saved. I have a hope now. I have an understanding and a knowledge that I am going to heaven because of the things that are written in the Bible. One of the things that the Lord always said, he said to the disciples, I am telling you these things now so that whenever they come to pass, you will know that I am God. Now, I wanted to pray for Charlotte's phone. I think it nearly went to phone heaven today. I tell you, you checked and still worked, didn't it? It got caught in the door and all I heard was a kerthunk and I thought, oh, that doesn't sound like the seatbelt catching, that sounds like something plastic catching. And people think, what has that got to do with church? In the book of Revelation, it talks about images being given life. And we don't even think twice about calling YouTube or WhatsApp or Facebook up on our phones and looking at images that move. alive in us. We don't think twice about that. We don't think twice about calling up a live video from someone's webcam in Israel or Ukraine or Russia if they haven't blacked out the communications. We don't think twice about that. The Bible says every eye would see Jesus, and you are using the very thing that every eye is going to use to see Jesus whenever he comes back. Those are just a couple of the prophecies. It says in Matthew, there will come a day when we are able to wipe out every single living creature on the face of the earth. That's what it says in Matthew. That if Jesus didn't come back after the 7 years, that there wouldn't be one single person left alive. Because some Egypt would press the button. And if there's no Holy Spirit tapping them on the shoulder and just saying, hire your horses, just in that person's ear, they would press it. These things are in the Bible, and the prophecy is written. It's the impossible book, because the things that were written thousands of years ago are coming true even right now. It's worth remembering that that is why there is prophecy in the Bible. Why should I make it personal? Because let's be honest, we're selfish devils. One of the last selfish acts we should do is make sure that we save the skin, our skins, and getting saved. Because what's the alternative? Hell? A life without God? Then hell? Then the great white throne of judgment, where you get a red face for the end of the ages of eternity as your sins are read out in the thoughts of your heart. And then you're thrown into the lake of fire forever and ever. Our last most selfish act should be to get saved. To avoid that punishment, to save our own rear ends, as somebody would say. And that makes it personal. It's not written to everybody in the world. It's written to each person in the world. Just because somebody else gets saved doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Unless you're saved too. It's very, very personal. The Lord came as a personal saviour. And he came to offer you a one-size-fits-all for you salvation. And after that you get saved, and one of the other verses that Norman was reading in Romans 8, verse 28 says, and that is how everything works out for the best. When you love the Lord and you're saved, and whenever you're doing what he tells you to do, in other words, living life his way, that's when everything works out for the best. That means that even saved souls can have train wreck lives whenever they're not doing what God says. It's worth remembering that. It's personal. It's going to affect you. The Bible says it's you that is going to suffer persecution from the world. It is you that people are going to point to and call a holy Jew. It is you that's going to suffer loss. Whenever you say, nope, I'm not going to be doing that anymore, the Bible says that I shouldn't, and here's the reason why, and it seems perfectly sensible to me. In fact, it seems pretty crazy for you to go out and keep drinking and doing drugs and smoking and drinking and sleeping around. That just seems like asking for a death penalty. That's like playing Russian roulette with one empty chamber. One of them's going to get you. People are going to say, they're not going to say, well, thank you very much for showing me where it's wrong. I must run to the foot of the cross and get saved. They're going to say, I don't want to hear what you have to say anymore. It's personal. And I tell you, when the world and the flesh and the devil step away from you, it feels personal. And it is you that hurts. God's promises to you are personal too. He says when you suffer loss because of your stand for Christ, that you will get something that is 100 times better in its place. That's God's promise to you. Those Beatitudes we looked at on Sunday morning, those are to each one of us. Not to everybody, to each person that repents of their sins and comes to the foot of the cross. It's personal. God loves each person in the world and extends an invitation to each person in the world to repent of their sins and trust in him. I've got a few more whys here. We'll whip through them right and quick. There's power in the Bible. People don't understand that.
I get questions.
Why do we need power? If you were to look at the last couple of years, you would have seen that there was a lot of propaganda being shown. There's always propaganda being shown on national TV. The BBC is one of the most anti-Christian, pro-satanic and pagan, in this country. They are the most left-wing, anti-Christian, programming business in the country. And they are trying to tell people all these lies, and because people never hear anything else, they believe it. And the Lord, one day was preaching and got a bit close to the knuckle. People didn't like what he had to say. Even though it was the truth, sometimes it's bitter truth. People started walking away. And as the disciples came towards him, he said, "Are you going too?" And Peter said this one thing. He said, "Lord, where else would we go? You have the words of eternal life." Paul, in his letter to the Romans, said, "For all that I have done, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it's the power of God unto salvation." And if you institute God's commands in your life, Christian, and sometimes you have to grit your teeth as you do it, because it's not always easy. First time's the hardest. It gets easier as you go. And then whenever you see, hold on, God made good in that. I'm going to trust him with something else, and I'm going to trust him with something else. There's power to be had, and that power is enough to keep you going. Say, "Well, that worked out, Lord. We'll do it your way tomorrow, and we'll do it your way for a little bit longer tomorrow, and then maybe in another part of my life, we'll do it your way again." And you will find that between the Holy Spirit working with you, and the scriptures in your heart guiding and directing you, and even giving your mind something to chew on instead of all the stuff that's going on in the world, you will find that you are at a level that is a lot of times untouched by the things that are going on in the world. I'll give you a little bit of an example. My dad is 90 years old in 3 months, would you believe? 90. He was 14 or 15 years old when Israel became a nation, in accordance with the scriptures set down nearly 2,500 years ago. That's something to think of. He watches a lot of BBC TV, and he is still afraid to go out without a mask on. That is what listening to the wrong things can do to you. Listening to the right things, however, can do what Romans chapter 8 and verse number 15 says. God did not give us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we can cry, "Abba, Father." And I think it's 2 Timothy 1 and 7 tell us, "For God gave us not the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And if I am thinking on the promises of God, and it's not just a mental exercise, and God is actively making good on those promises, there's power for you there. There's power to overcome your feelings. There's power to overcome even physical shortcomings. There's power to overcome what people say about you. There's power to overcome the limits that society would set on you. All you have to do is say, that's rubbish. Or, hold on a wee second, that's wrong. If you want it, you'll have to plug into your Bible. There's also provision in the Word of God. Because when everybody else is doing something, and it's so common that people never even think twice about it, whenever God says something else, it can be a bit of a shock. God says, "I'll hold you up. I'll give you something in its place." We were talking about that earlier on, very briefly. For all of the things that you find out do not sit well with you as a Christian, that everybody else would have you to do, the Lord says, "I have made provision for you. I have made an alternative for you. That is much, much better." And not only that, something changed in mankind 2,000 years ago. And the change was coming so quickly and so drastically that God decided we needed the Holy Spirit 24 hours of every day of our whole lives. That is how bad things are in this world, that we need God with us every moment of the day. And God has promised us that. That is not dependent upon the Bible. That is dependent upon God's promise, his personal promise to the soul that accepts him as Savior. We're down to the last two. The penultimate one is, why does God give us a purpose? A lot of times Norman and I would have discussions whenever we're working here. People need a purpose. You need a reason to get up and do stuff of the day. Otherwise, you'll sit and your body will waste away. And someday you'll get up to do something and your heart will give out. We need to keep moving. We're like sharks. You know, if a shark stops swimming, it dies because it needs to have the water continually flowing into its mouth and through its gills. We need to keep moving. We need a purpose. And just in case we don't have a job as a surgeon or a microprocessor designer or a computer programmer or a builder of spaceships or Mars colonies or erectors of bridges and skyscrapers, not all of us can be doing those things. But we can all seek and save that which was lost. Whenever Jesus left this world, he didn't search out the kings and say, I need you to go and preach the gospel to the lost. He didn't search out the priests to say, and told them, I need you to go and tell lost people they need to get saved. He said it to whoever turned up. He said, go and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. For those first few years, the Lord worked with them, confirming their words with signs and wonders following. It's a strange thing, but at the very, very beginning of the Bible, the Lord said to Adam, Adam, you made a real mess of things whenever you listened to your wife instead of listening to me. Don't start anything. He's grinning already. You made a mess of things, you should have listened to me. And God said to him, because you listened to your wife instead of listening to me, the ground is going to bring forth thorns and weeds for your sake. In other words, did you ever hear the old saying, busy hands are happy hands? Or an idle mind is the devil's workplace, or the devil makes work for idle hands? We need a purpose. And just in case you don't have a farm to farm, or like I said, a magnificent job to attend and for your great expertise to be shown throughout the world, God said it doesn't matter who you are. Wherever there is a lost soul, that's your purpose. Tell them about Jesus, whether with words or deeds or with your songs that you sing. Tell folks you need to get saved. A lot of people think, oh, that's for the minister. That was for God Almighty. God didn't think that little of it, that he didn't do it when he was here in this world. In fact, that was his own job. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. He said, I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. And he said, there's a vacancy. I'm going to heaven. There's a vacancy. So anyone do it. And if you're genuinely saved, and you have a love of God in your heart for him and for the brethren and for lost souls, you will want to take every opportunity and even make a few to tell people about Jesus. The last one I have is protection. Why would we need protection? How many people are out doing stupid stuff right now? How many people are popping open a packet of tablets of codeine, and there's nothing wrong with them, but they're hooked on How many people are shooting up with, who knows what they'd be shooting up with in Mary? Cocaine, heroin, amphetamines? How many people are loading up with those, getting ready for a night's drinking or a night's partying? How many people are heading off to a stranger's bed? Not their husband or not their wife. How many people are going to do that? And how many times do you read in the back of newspapers the obituaries of people for whom that didn't work? Now, years ago, could be 20, probably maybe 25, maybe 30 years ago. Back whenever I did watch a little bit of TV, there was a little girl, 15 years old. It was a very sad tale that made the national news about how she'd been out this one night. And it was back when ecstasy tabs were the big thing. And she took one tablet and she had some sort of reaction to it. And basically what happened, her body blew up. Does that mean her kidneys failed? She was retaining all of her fluids. All of her tissues, especially around her neck and her nose, they started to blow up as well, and her throat closed. You know what they had to do? They had to actually cut the tip off of her nose to put the tubes into her throat, into her lungs, just so that she could breathe. And her mom said, I can't understand why this happened. This was the first time my little girl went out. I don't know if she survived or if she died. But the consequences were awful. And I want to ask you a question this evening. How many of us, how many pints did you drink between 6:30 and 8:00 tonight? Or even 6:30 and 9:00 tonight, because it could be that time by the time you get home. Although I'm not planning to talk that much longer. How many times did you shoot up with heroin tonight? Between the hours of, say, 6:00 and 9:00. How many prostitutes did you have relations with between now and earlier on 9:00? How many people tried to mug you outside of a hotel or a pub between 6:00 and 9:00 tonight? In the very simplest application of the protection that the Lord offered the whole of Jerusalem and offers to us today, you have been kept safe from everything in this world that would destroy you without a second thought simply because you attended church tonight. Instead of going out into the world looking for a temporary thrill. And if that's what the Lord can do just by you being in a good habit for a couple of hours of a Wednesday evening, what can the Lord save you from whenever he asks you to spend 15 or 20 minutes in prayer? What can the Lord save you from whenever you say, yes, Lord, I'm going to read 3 or 4 chapters of the Bible, and say it takes you 30 minutes? What did the Lord save you from in that 30 minutes? Getting knocked down by a drunk driver on his way home whenever you were walking across the road to the pub? People have died that simply and that quickly. And for by even that, I want to give you a little bit of a personal example. Whenever I was at university many years ago, goodness, it'll be 38 years ago, I think 17 or 18, when I started university. One of the first clubs I joined was the karate club. And I went hammers and tongs karate. Push-ups on my fingers and knuckles on tiled floors. My knuckles were blistered and skinned. Running every morning before breakfast down to the PEC from the Union Theological College, maybe 30 miles out and 30 miles back, and then doing all manner of sit-ups and squats and press-ups. Spending 4 or 5 hours every week training with the guys in the karate club. Then coming up here and for another 2 or 3 years studying jiu-jitsu. And all the usual, the running, the weights, the exercises, the twice a week, the competitions, all that stuff. Just in case someone should attack me if I was ever out in a pub or something like that. Do you know how many times I have had to use my martial arts to save my life when I have been out? Never. And that's because I have obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ. I have not been in the places where people that would behave that way have been. I've been in church. I've been in the brethren's homes. I've been out about the Lord's business, putting leaflets and things in people's doors. I've been reading my Bible, studying, learning verses, writing sermons, working on the church. How many things have we been... Normally these bad boys, and the Lord has seen fit to have us busy for 6 months here. Who knows what we've been saved from? And then going home and being too sore and tired to move. We've been protected from all of those things. And that doesn't even speak to the supernatural protection that God has given us whenever we have been out and about. The reason for all of that is, why are all these things in the Bible? We need them. It really is that simple. We need them. The days that we live in are the last days. They're the wickedest days in the history of mankind. I'll give you one example of that and then we'll close. We look back and read the Old Testament and think, bunch of savages. Look at the things they used to do. They used to take their children and sacrifice them in the hands of Molech, a huge big statue, M-O-L-E-C-H. They would light a big pyre around this metal statue, and whenever he was good and hot, they would put their newly born children into his hands for prosperity. And we think those ignorant savages. They were definitely devil worshippers. They got everything that they deserved when God demanded that the children of Israel wipe them out. Every single, they got everything they deserved. You know how wicked things have gotten since then? People don't think twice about killing their unborn children. And they call it a medical procedure. So that's a nice little bit of shiny wrapping paper on it. And then they make it legal, so that puts a little ribbon on it. And then they make it acceptable because it's so common. And that puts a lovely little label on it which says your name on it. And we have become worse than those pagan devil worshippers of years gone by. And that's only one thing. We live in the worst days, morally speaking, that mankind has ever seen. The why is, we need it. Whether or not it gets applied is entirely up to you and me. The Lord has made us free moral agents. We can do whatever we like. I'm telling you now, you do yourself a disservice if you don't take time in God's word. Stopping there. Thank you for your good time. I have a slot for a hymn, if anybody has one. If you don't, I'm going to pick one. Hymn number 364. 364 in the big books. Stand on the promises, if you're able. Let's just stand as we sing. time and attention. God bless you for taking time out of your schedules. I'm sure the world, the flesh, and the devil had loads for you to be doing this evening, but we appreciate you being here. I'm going to pray. We'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. Don't forget our absent brothers and sisters this evening and those that are lost. Lord, we thank you for this time. I pray, Lord, that you would take and use the reading and the preaching of your word to help us this day, and the songs as well, and even just this little bit of fellowship. Lord, please take and use it to help us through our lives. And those, Lord, that are asking questions, I pray that you would answer them, just especially Henry at this time, or moms and dads, aunts and uncles, sons and daughters, grannies and granddads. Lord, please speak to those that are lost, convict them of sin and judgment to come, and show, Lord, help us to show them that you're a wonderful, loving, and forgiving Savior. Bless us as we part company and go our separate ways. And we ask all this, Father, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.